Today's shir is Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Lamates. We will begin on Daf Lamates Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It teaches us the Mishnah Shor Shapikeach. If the shor that belongs to an adult who's a bendas, Shenogach, that attacked Shor Shal Cheresh, and throughout Halacha, a Cheresh is considered in the person who can't speak and can't hear, which according to the halacha, such an individual is considered an individual that ain't by das, is considered an individual that has no intelligence, or the shor of a cotton, if he damaged a shor of a shite of a cotton, or minor, in all these cases, the halachas that we've been learning throughout the Masechta apply. You'll pay by tam chatzin nezek and by muad nezek shalom. However, says the Mishnah, shal cheresh shayit v'katan, if the animal belonged to cheresh shayit v'katan, shenogach shor shal pikeach, that they did damage to a pikeach, potter, they're going to be potter. So, of course, the Mefarshim try to understand what is the Mishnah coming to teach us. So the Chazon Yecheskel says that perhaps what the Mishnah means to say, of course, in a case where the shor that belongs to an adult, to a gadol ben das, attacks, there's no question that that person will be held responsible. And vice versa, if the shor that belongs to cheresh shayit v'katan attack, they should not be chayiv. But the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that what happens if these two animals attacked each other, and since they attacked each other, and they did damage to the other. So in that case, maybe we would say that the attack of these two animals on each other should cancel each other out. Teaches us the Mishnah that the same halacha will apply, that we only pay attention to what the shor of the bekeach did and not what the shor of the cheresh shayit v'katan did. Continues the Mishnah. Shor shel cheresh v'shayit v'katan shenogach, if these animals did damage, bezdim amidim lehem apotropos. Rashi says, a person who is appointed to oversee the assets of someone else is called an apotropos. And actually, the Shalos Tshuvos HaRosh indicates that we already find the concept of an apotropos in the Torah. Because we find in the Torah that Eliezer was Moshel, he was in charge of everything that belonged to Avram Avinu. And that's where we find the first of apotropos Midaraisa. So it seems that according to the Rosh, the transactions that an apotropos were to do would be transactions that are valid midaraisa. However, the Shalos Tshuvos Panim Meiris says that even though we're learning and we're going to learn extensively in our shir about an apotropos, the transactions that apotropos does on behalf of those that he's appointed for are only valid midarabonim. So it says again, the Mishnah Shor Shel Cheresh V'Katan Shenogach, Bezdin, Mamidim Lahem Apotropos, the Apotropos is in charge. There's an interesting Machloikus Rishonim. What does it mean that an Apotropos is appointed? When we say an Apotropos is an appointed, doesn't it mean that the Apotropos is in charge of all transactions, of all of the assets of the Yisoyimim? Or does the Mishnah mean to teach us that the Apotropos, because the Cheresh Shayit V'katan own an animal that's doing damage, so that's why we ask an apotropos to take over, but not to say, suggest the other mefarshim, that we automatically appoint apotropos for all of the assets of the Cheresh Shayit V'katan. Says the Mishnah, if afterwards nesbakech hacheresh, the cheresh Baruch Hashem began to hear, the shtat v'ashoita, the shoita became well. Higdal ha-cotton, the cotton becomes a godel. Chayzel Tamusa, even though this animal had been until now a muad, it had done damage a number of times, it became a muad, if it now changes, if the ownership of the status of the person who owns it changes, the status of the animal also changes. Remeya, however, disagrees that Harei B'chuskasa, whatever status it had, it retains. So Rashi explains that the Machlaikas or Remeya Rabbi Yossi is, as we're going to learn, Rishus Mishana. Does, when the status of the owner changes, does it change the status of the owner, animal? What does that mean? So the Mukhi Yosef explains that we know that an animal becomes a muad, as we've learned and will continue learning, when the owner is told three times by three different, by Adam in front of a Bezdin, your animal has this tendency, you need to watch your animal. So the Mukhi Yosef says that these people could say, had we been given this warning, we would have taken proper care of the animal. No one else could do it the way we could do it. The Miri takes a broader picture. He says that whenever there are new owners, we always change his status because the status of the owner of the animal is very much connected, suggests the Meiri, to the status of the owners. The owners change, the status change. And it seems that the Meiri says that that would be under all circumstances. The Chazon Ish says that, as we just said a moment ago, the way an animal becomes a muad, says the Chazon Ish, is by the owners being properly warned with Bezdin, with Edom. So says the Chazon Ish that what happens when we make an owner, the owner of a muad, we're saying that as long as the animal is under your control, that's when the animal is a muad. But we're essentially saying that when he's not under your control, at that point he's not a muad. Says the Mishnah, Shor Ha'itzdidim. If they taught an animal, in those times it was common, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, to teach an animal to do as what we would know as a bullfight, or any time an animal was trained to do this type of activity, enechai misa. If it killed a person, rachman slan, the animal is not put to death. Shenemar kigach. If the animal on its own kills somebody else. However, v'loy shegichu acherim. Not that it was caused because he was trained to do this kind of damage, of behavior, then the animal cannot be held at fault. Now, the Ritva points out, the Mishnah said that a Sharetz Didin is Enechayv Misa. So Ritva says what that means is that if the animal killed a person, which we learned that we'll continue learning, that if an animal kills a person, that animal is chayiv misa. Here, that halacha doesn't apply. But if he attacked and damaged, that the animal, even though it's a shtar at staden, would be chayiv. The Nemukah Yosef disagrees. Nemukah Yosef says that when the Mishnah is exempting the shtar at staden, it's exempting the shtar at staden from all types of damage. And the Nachlas David explains why would the Ritva differentiate between Mesa and Azukim. So explains the Nachlas David. But if when we look at the Chiyav Mesa, says the Nachlas David, emanates from what the animal does. And the animal, since, as we just explained, was trained to do damage, so we can't fault the animal for killing, and it won't be chayiv misa. But damages are not paid for what the animal is trained to do or not. If I or my property cause someone a loss, I have to compensate for that loss. Obviously, the Nebuchadnezzar disagrees. He says that this animal cannot be held responsible. The Tosfos on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph says that the axe that's being referred to in our Mishnah is the axe that we spoke about the bullfight, and if it killed the matador, who is the one that challenges the animal during the bullfight, that's when he's not going to be chayiv misa. But according to Tosfos, it seems that anyone else that will kill, and certainly for damages, the halacha is that the shor at Staden will be held responsible. But as we just learned, the other Rishonim, the Muki Yosef, hold that the animal is not held by this animal. We don't hold it responsible, not for Misa nor for Nezikin. But ask the Gemara, Hogu Fakasha. Let's learn the Mishnah. Amrit Shor Shal Cher Shavit Katan, Shenagach Shor Shal Pikeach, the Loch is Potter, the owner is Potter. Alma, Ema Midnim, Apotropos Latam. Obviously, we don't appoint an apotropos to take care of the assets of a Shor Tam, Ligves Megufoy, to collect from its value for if it's owned by Cher Shavit Katan. But ask the Gemara, Ema Seifa, let's continue learning our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shor Shal Cher Shavit Katan, Shenagach, Bezdin Mamidin Lam Apotropos, the halacha is that Bezdin appoints Apotropos, Umeidim Lam Befnei Apotropos, and as we've been learning, in order for a Tam to become a Muad, you have to have Edim. So the Edim give their testimony in front of the Apotropos. Alma, isn't that obvious that the Mishnah teaches us Mamidin Lam Apotropos, the Tam, Ligvas Lagufoy, that we do appoint an apotropos if the animal's owned by Cheresh Shait V'Katan. And Tosfos points out maybe what the Mishnah meant to say is that if the animal belonging to Cheresh Shait V'Katan did damage, and now we're going to appoint an apotropos, the apotropos will not be held responsible for what happened before he was appointed. He will only be held responsible for what happens afterwards. So Tosfos says, that's so obvious that the apotropos cannot be held responsible for what happened before he was appointed. That is not what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Moreover, the Ravid points out that the Reisha, if the halacha were, as we're suggesting, that until the apotropos is appointed, he's not responsible. And then, of course, we should appoint the apotropos. So why did the Mishnah turn this into two separate cases in two separate sentences? What the Mishnah should say is if the Cheresh Shait V'Katan own an animal that's attacking, until we appoint an apotropos, obviously we're not going to hold them responsible, and then we will hold them responsible. In one clause it should have been stated. Amar Rava, so Rava says, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Hachik Tani, Im Huchsuk Nachanim, if Bezdin sees that these animals are the type of animals that do damage, that attack. So that's at that point, we need to appoint Mamidin Lahem Apotropos. That's when we're going to appoint an Apotropos. Or Me'idin Lahem Befei Apotropos. That at that, and the Edim give their testimony in front of this Apotropos. And then the Mashvin Lahem Muad. And based on that testimony, if it happens three times, the animal will be labeled a muad, the chichada nogach, and now if the animal as a muad does damage, as we've learned many times, then they pay maliyah. Because one of the fundamental differences is between a tam and a muad is that a tam pays megufoy, we cap the payment at the value of the animal, and a muad pays the muad pays from whatever assets its owner owns. There's a machlokes rishonim. At what point does Bezdin step in? Does the animal have to have done damage three times? And then Bezdin will take an apotropos, and then I'll take another three times for the animal to become a muad? Or is it not necessary to see that serious type of pattern? Rather, if we already see that this animal is the type of animal that does damage, it'll be enough of a reason to appoint apotropos. Even though, according to the opinion, that this animal we only appoint apotropos after the three times, but there is Shainim that ask, an animal, we only go through the process after of a muad paying nezek shalim after the animal paid three times chatzi nezek. Here, according to the opinion that we appoint a muad, even though it didn't pay three times chatzi nezek, because as we learned in the Mishnah, we don't take money from the ketanim. So explains the Shita Mekabetzis. That halacha is only in a place where the person who owned the animal should have paid. But in a case where they couldn't have paid, because as we're learning, the chereshoit of a cotton, then of course the halacha that you had to have paid chatzi nezek first three times in order to pay on the fourth time, nezek sholem, will not apply. So now the Gemara identified that we appoint at a certain point, as we just discussed, we're going to appoint an apotropos. And if the animal is then behaves and becomes a muad, then we're going to collect from the aliyah as we do from any muad. Ask the Gemara, Malias man, from what does that mean? Rav Yochanan and Malias Yisoymim, that the Yisoymim's assets are used to pay. Rav Yosef Chanina, Malias Apotropos, we use the assets of the apotropos. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that this discussion that we're having, this machlokes, is only by a yosim. Because the yosim, that's a cotton, will grow up. And at that point, he'll take responsibility for his assets. So that's where there's a possibility that the apotropos will agree that until he's responsible, he has to take full responsibility. But in the case, says the Pnei Yeshua, of a chereshoita, that could remain in that status forever, for the rest of their lives, no apotropos will ever agree to be an apotropos over an animal, over the assets of a person that may remain in this status forever, and there everybody would agree we collect from the assets of the owner, from the shoita or the cheresh. Ask the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says that when the animals in muad, and we're collecting from Dalia, we collect from Dalia that belongs to the Yisoymim. Ask the Gemara. Is that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Ask the Gemara. We never collect from the assets of the Yisoymim. And Rashi explains, because the reason you have to pay is it's a mitzvah to pay what you owe. But Yisoymim aren't obligated to do mitzvahs when they're ketanim. Elm came ribas achelspam. The only time we take money is if interest is eating up their assets. Rabbi Yochanan, oy lishtash yesh beish ribas. Again, as we just explained, if the Yisoymim estate has a document against it with interest that's eating away at their assets, oy luxubas isha mishim mizayni, because we have to a husband has to take care of his wife's well-being after he dies, as the ksuba says, that as long as the ksuba is paid off, she remains in his home and lives off, they have to support him. So here we see that we don't go after the Yisoymim's assets. So how could Rabbi Yochanan ask the Gemara suggest that we go after the Yisoymim's assets? Epoch, says the Gemara, we have to reverse the opinions. Rabbi Yochanan amar me'alias apotropsin, and on the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Chanina amar me'alias Yisoymim. So ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, Mishum Dekashter Rabbi Yochanan, yes, we had a legitimate question. Because we have this question, Masters Leila Rabbi Yosef Chanina Toya, we're going to have Rabbi Yosef Chanina expressing a view which is not halachically correct. And that is an untenable situation. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, the Yonahu, Rabbi Yosef Chanina is a Dayan, who was an expert Dayan, for Nachaslam Kedudina, so it's difficult to apply to Rabbi Yossi a halachically incorrect opinion. Says the Gemara, El Alaylan Lay Tepach, we need not reverse the opinion, or Mazak Shani. Even though Rav Yochanan says that we normally don't collect from Yosaimim. Rav Yochanan says that if the Yosaimim's property, or now Gemara, the Yosaimim's animal, is doing damage, that is an exception to the rule, and we collect from the Yosaimim's property. Rav Yochanan has a different way to explain the machloikus. The Gemara gives a different way of explaining the machloikus of Yochanan and Yosef Chanina. Rav Yochanan melis Yosaimim, the Amrit melis apotropis. Rav Yochanan has a different reason when we go after the assets of the Yosaimim. If we're going to take, says Rav Yochanan, from the assets of the apotropis, mimni v'loi avdi. No one will agree that to be an apotropis. Because if the price of being an apotropis is if there's a loss, I have to take it from my pocket, I'm never going to agree to be an apotropis. And as the Meiri points out, from our Gemara, it's clear that Beis Din can ask someone to be an apotropis, but Beis Din can never force anybody to be an apotropis. Why does Rav Yosef Chanina explain would people not be reluctant to be an apotropis if it's going to come out of their pocket? Because it's always temporary. And again, we look in the words of the Gemara, it's very much in line with what the Pnei Yeshua told us. Because they look at these Yosaimim and they say, Gagadli, they're going to grow up. It's very temporary. Says the Gemara, Mamidlam apotropis latam ligves begufoi. This discussion, if we appoint, now we have another question. That till now we've been speaking about appointing an apotropis, and under the apotropis watch, the animal will become a muad. And once the animal becomes a muad, if it does damage, the halacha would be that they pay me'aliyah. But from what we learned in the Gemara until now, there was no discussion about while the animals are tam. But says the Gemara, Mamidlam apotropis l'tam ligvis megufoi, the question, would we appoint an apotropis, even while the animals are tam, to be able to collect damages from the value of the animal, actually says the Gemara Tanahi is machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, shor sh'nischar shebalav. You have an animal that the owner became a cheresh, or sh'nishtat v'balav, unfortunately the owner became a shaita, or the owners traveled overseas. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekosa Omer Simchas says in the name of Simchas Hareza b'Tomasai, he remains a tam atchiedu balim until they could go through the process of making the animal into a muad in front of the owners, which really means until they get better or come home. We appoint apotropis. And we go through the process in front of the apotropis. The Spakech HaCheresh says the Braisa, if the Cheresh Baruch Hashem gets better, the Shtatva Shaita, the Shaita gets better, Higdal Cotton, the Cotton becomes a Godel, or Baal Baal Medinas Yom, or the owners return home. Yekusa ben Yehuda ben Yekusa Oymer Sumchas Chazal Tamasai, we go back to where we started, Achi Yidabav Fnei Balam, until it's made into a mood in front of the owners. And Rabbi Yosef, whatever status it had, it retains. Amru. So the Gemara continues. When Sumcha said, Harei b'tamasa, the kama, my Harei b'tamasa, the kama Sumchas, what did Sumchas mean when he said Harei b'tamasa? Ilema, delemiyat, klal. If we'll say that this animal can never become a muad, ha mitani sefer, but let's go through the entire brisa. And the brisa discussed if choizel tamusov, the animal goes back, reverts back to being a tam when the owner's status changed. So it means that the animal did become a muad. Elamai harei b'tamosoi. So what does that mean? Harei b'tamosoi. The animal is kept whole. What does that mean that the animal is kept whole? Deloy mechasrinalei. We don't collect any damages that it did as a tam. Alma. So what is obviously Sumchus' opinion? How are we explaining Sumchus' opinion? Sumchus is teaching us that ema midim apotropis letam ligvos megufoi. The chachamim who disagree with Sumchus are obviously of the opinion that midin lahem apotropos or midin lahem b'fnei apotropos for alma, even for the purpose mamidim apotropos l'tam ligvayis megufoy, to even be able to collect from the tam as long as it's under the control of apotropos. Says the Gemara. Now, when we spoke about the sefer, when they change status or they come home, what will be the machloikus there? That, as the Rishonim point out, is a machloikus that we already had in the Mishnah. And in fact, the Shita Mekabetza says there's really nothing new with this machloikus. And we already explained, actually, this machloikus when we learned the Mishnah. We'll continue explaining this machloikus. But the reason the Gemara reviews and explains the Mishnah, that machloikus, is because we're explaining the Braisa, and this is part of needing to understand the Braisa. The Sefer of Maika Mefki, what is the machloikus in the Sefer? Rishus Mishani Kavanayu, if the status of the owners change, does that affect the status of the animal? Some chesav rishus mishana, that if the status of the owner changes, then the status of the animal changes. Yisusav rishus ena mishana. Tan Rabbanan says, well, we learned in a brayso shor cheres shoyt v'katan shenogach. Rav Yaakov mishalm chatzi nezek. What does that mean when it says Rav Yaakov mishalm chatzi nezek? Means we'll see in the Gemara. Rav Yaakov asked the Gemara, Rav Yaakov mayavidatei. Why would Rav Yaakov pay? Aleim Rav Yaakov oimer, what Rav Yaakov means to say is that Mishalim Nezik, Mishalim Chatzi Nezik. So I saw that the Yaivitz explains, what does this Gemara mean? What the Gemara means to say is that we're not really changing the wording of the Braisa. What the Braisa means to say is that Rav Yaakov served as the Rosh Bezdin. And therefore, these type of Dine Torah came to him. And the Braisa is saying that when such a Din Torah came to Rav Yaakov would see to it that Chatzi Nezek should be paid. Ask the Gemara, the Ma'iskinen, exactly what is the Braisa coming to teach us? Itam, if we're talking about a Tam that did damage, Pshita, something that we've been learning throughout the Masechta, the Kula Almanami, any animal that's a Tam, Chatzi Nezek, Mishalim, he pays Chatzi Nezek. Vimud, and if we're talking about the animal being a mu'ud, let's think about this. Either avalei shmira, if he did the proper shmira, klal lebay shlume, then the halacha is that he shouldn't be held responsible. And the way many explain this braisa, this gemara, very much in line with the opinion of Tosfos that we have often quoted in our shiurim, is that if it's an oynes gomer, then certainly a person is not held responsible. And that's the case here. V'idaloy avdalei shmira, so kula nezek bay shlumei, amud, mishalm, nezek shalim. Says the Amar Rav Eloy l'mamud. V'achim eskinen, how do we understand this braisa? David shmira b'chusa, we, for example, Rashi explained, put it in a place that in a ruach she'ena metzuya, it would not be able to withstand, but a ruach metzuya would be able to stand. But we didn't do a high level of shmira. And we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Mem Hei, a machloikus tanoim regarding the subject. Ramei's opinion is that both a tam and a mu'ud require a shmira ma'ula. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, very interestingly, that a tam requires a high level of shmira and a mu'ud requires a shmir b'chusa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is that both a tam and a mu'ud, a shmir b'chusa is adequate. And the Gemara is going to Mitzvah Shem and Daf Mem Hei, even before Mitzvah Shem, explain each opinion. So here we have an animal that's a mu'ud, and only a shmir b'chusa was made for it. So the avdalei shmir ma'ula. Rav Yaakov's opinion is like Rav Yehuda, Omer, Tzad Tams from Kaimim Medes. There's another opinion, that an animal that's a mu'ud is a tam plus. So the tam portion always remains. Just so if he becomes a mu'ud, you have to pay another 50% for the Nezek Shalim. And also holds, like Rav Yehuda, that a mu'ud sagle b'mashir b'chusa. So if that's the case, And he also holds that we meet him apotropos l'tam ligvus begufay. If we take all of these opinions together, everything will make sense. We made a shmir b'chusa. So the part that he's a mood for, he won't be responsible for that 50%. Because as we learned, a shmir b'chusa according to Yehuda is adequate for a mood. But for the part that he's a tam, Rabbi Yehuda says, a shmir b'chusa is inadequate. So for that 50%, since there was only a shmir b'chusa, you'll have to pay the chatzi nezek. Furthermore, since he holds that we appoint an apotropos, since we appoint an apotropos, that's where the tam will pay for this damage. Says the Gemara, Amalei, how could you say that Rav Yaakov is explaining like Rav Yehuda? V'loi pligi, does Rav Yaakov not disagree with Rav Yehuda? V'tanya, shor shachar shayt v'katan shenagach, Rav Yehuda mechayiv, Rav Yaakov ha-mechatzin nezakud ha-meshalim. So isn't this an indication that Rav Yaakov doesn't agree with Rav Yehuda? So how can we explain that Rav Yaakov's opinion is based on what Rav Yehuda says? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Bar Ula. Mash mechayiv Rav Yehuda, it's not that they're disagreeing. Rather, Rav Yaakov, Pirish Rav Yaakov, what Rav Yehuda said, Chayiv, what came Rav Yaakov to explain that what did Rav Yehuda mean when he said Chayiv? Given the explanation that we just gave, they meant to explain why Rav Yehuda in this circumstance will say you only have to pay Chatzin Nezik. Says the Gemara, obviously, Rav Bar Ula is of the opinion, Abaya's opinion is that they're disagreeing. Dama pligi, that Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda are arguing. So ask the Gemara, b'may pligi, what is the basis of their machlokes? Says the Gemara, Amalach, Abaya explains, Hachem ma'iskinan, the Bryce is speaking about a mu'ud v'loi natri klal. He didn't do any shmira. So Rav Yehuda is going to say that you have to pay nezek shalim. Because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a mu'ud requires at least a shmir p'chusa. And obviously, you could collect from apotropos. Rabbi Yaakov Sovelik Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, he agrees with one halacha Rabbi Yehuda said. However, upala glei b'chada, he disagrees with him. And the Gemara explains, Sovelik Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, dealer Rabbi Yehuda Sovet Tzad Tamas b'mekoydim medis, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov agrees with that. Upala glei b'chada, dealer of Yehuda Sova Midan Apotropos Lutam Ligvus Megufoy. Rav Yaakov Sova Emel Medim. We don't appoint an apotropos for a tam. Loi Misham Al Pelag the Muad. So the 50%. So again, Rav Yaakov is agreeing with Rav Yehuda that we always look at this type of a situation of a Muad as a tam plus. If we always look at a Muad as a tam plus, so the 50% of tam, and there was no Shmira. So you would really have to pay Nezek Shalim. But the first 50% that you're paying because of a tam, we don't appoint apotropos to pay for a tam. So that's why there won't be anybody to pay that first 50%. The second 50% of mu'ud, everybody agrees, as we've been learning throughout our shiur, that you appoint an apotropos for a mu'ud, and that's why for that 50%, that's why you'll only collect the coin to Rabbi Yaakov, the second 50%, the mu'ud 50%. Amalei Rav Acha by Lervina. Bishlama Labaya, according to Abaya's opinion that we just explained, that Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda are arguing, Shaper. We could understand how the machloikas, and understand that this brisa in which they are arguing is speaking about a mu'ud. Ela Rav da Amalei Pligi, that Rav's opinion was that there is no machloikas. And actually, there, Rabbi Yaakov is just explaining Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So ask the Gemara Adam Ukleb a Mu'ud instead of explaining it by a Mu'ud and saying that you're paying only for the second 50%, the Mu'ud half. Nukma B'tam, why don't we explain that it's speaking about a Tam? Ila Rabbi Yehuda Dabama Shmir P'chusa, V'lavale Shmir Mu'ula, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you didn't make a proper Shmira, then you'll have to pay the chatzin nezek. V'ilei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the level of shmira klal, that everybody agrees that the tam is going to have to pay. The Tanya, Reb Les ben Yaakov Omer, as we explained earlier, derechatav echmud sheshamra shmir chusa p'turim. But if you didn't make any shmira, everybody will agree that you're not chayiv. And what will we, says the Gemara, v'akamashmal, and what we will learn from here, that mamidah l'mapetropis, l'tam, l'gus megufoy, and we can't collect from a tam when it's warranted from apotropism. Amalei, Sir Venus says, Rava could have explained this that way. Hakam, ahadi is beitati tami. I'd rather give an explanation that we're speaking here about a mu'ud. So much will be learned from giving such an explanation. Number one, we'll learn from here that Rabbi Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that for a mu'ud, a shmir p'chusa is adequate. Furthermore, we'll see that Rabbi Yaakov agrees with this principle that Rav Yehuda taught us of Tzad Tamas B'Mekayim HaMedes, that a mu'ud is just a super tam. And we'll also learn that Mamidim Apotropos L'tam Ligvos Megufoy, that that's so much to learn from here. But if we're going to explain that Rava is going to explain that we're speaking about a tam, we're only going to learn one halacha. And that is that the way we explained that they didn't make any shmira, or they only made a shmira p'chusa, no shmira according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a shmira p'chusa according to Rabbi Yehuda. So all we're going to learn from here is that we collect from apotropos per tam, but we won't learn the halacha of tzad tams from Kayim HaMedes. We won't learn the halacha of a mu'ud, a shmir b'chusa is adequate. So says the Gemara, he preferred to learn a pshat, rather learned a pshat that was so rich in chidushim. Says the Gemara, Ravina Amar, Ravina has a different way of explaining the machlokes of Yehuda and of Yaakov. He says it's speaking about a shar mu'ud. And speaking about a shar mu'ud, we did a shmir p'chusa, where Rabbi Yehuda holds for a mu'ud, a shmir p'chusa is adequate. Furthermore, the b'raisa holds tzad tamas b'mekayim HaMedes. And therefore, you only have to pay for the 50% of the tam, not for the 50% of the mu'ud, because for the mu'ud, we had a proper shmir, a shmir p'chusa. Furthermore, we learn from here that we could collect a tam payment from apotropos. And it seems that there is a machloik between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda. And the way we're learning now, Rabbi Yaakov is just explaining Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mar Rishus Mishani Kibinayu. The machloik is where the status of the owner changed. You're going to have a mu'ud. The animal was identified as a mu'ud when it was by the apotropos. And then Spakach Acherish, V'nishtafa Ashoita, V'higdal HaKotten, Rabbi Yehuda Savarei B'chuskosai, and he's still going to have to pay like a mu'ud. Rabbi Yaakov Savar Rishus Mishana, since now the owners took back over what it was by the apotropos is irrelevant, and that's why he's going to pay a chatzi nezik. So the Gemara is limiting. The Gemara is saying that there is a machlokes. So we do understand now, as is the posh pshat, that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, but we're not obligated to make more than that one limited machlokes. And all the other halakhas that we've been discussing, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda could be in agreement.